and peace are yours this day from God, our Creator, from Jesus, our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes life in and among us. Amen. Friday night marked the season opener of Winter Wonderland at Falls Park, as some of you may know, that this is now that time-honored tradition of Christmas lights and music around the namesake waterfalls of our city. Okay, so Friday night marked the season opener of Winter Wonderland at Falls Park, that now time-honored tradition in the namesake waterfalls of our city. Over the weekend, while driving away from our church building in the dark a couple times, I was delighted to see, as maybe you have too, that our neighbors to the south have illuminated their own smaller scale Winter Wonderland. We haven't quite reached Thanksgiving, and liturgically speaking, we're not even quite in Advent yet, almost. But yet our neighborhoods and stores and stations seemed to have fully embraced Christmas. Yesterday morning, I learned the hard way that Caribou Coffee has retired their pumpkin lattes for the year, which of course means it's officially Christmas time. Culturally speaking, as such, of course, move on from pumpkin spice. It's time for peppermint mochas. Time for Christmas carols, Christmas trees, Christmas everything. So if we're operating under any sort of cultural theology in this moment, I would argue it is a theology of a God who shows up in twinkling lights and togetherness, a God who is colorful and sparkling. And if we put on our more pious hats for a moment, we might remember at least that we are preparing to celebrate a God who shows up as a baby in a manger. And so all of this said about this moment we're in, I imagine that for you, like for me, in this moment, it was jarring to hear our gospel text for today, which is operating under a very different theology than a God of twinkling lights and togetherness. It's a story of God on a cross. Jesus, crucified like a criminal, next to two legitimate criminals. Jesus, mocked and tortured on public display. No warm and fuzzies today from the Gospels. Luke has instead abruptly turned off the twinkling lights for the morning. This is not a colorful and sparkling God we get from Luke's Gospel today. And even though you and I know this crucifixion business is part of the story, the Jesus from Luke this morning, the Jesus on the cross, quite frankly, I would say he doesn't belong here. Not today, not in this cultural moment, not 5 days before Thanksgiving, not among the lights and the lovey-dovey lattes and lullabies. I mean, even liturgically speaking, we can argue this Jesus doesn't belong here. He belongs on Good Friday, the day we designate for hearing the story of the death of our Messiah. That is when we usually hear the story of this Jesus, and only then, often. But as it is, the powers that be of our lectionary, that is our 3-year cycle of biblical readings, they have given us this Jesus now on Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday is, as you may not know, the last Sunday of the church year. So this is New Year's Eve today. Happy New Year's Eve. The Christ the King Sunday always immediately precedes the first Sunday in Advent, which is considered the New Year's Day of the church year. And the theme of today, though the readings change throughout the 3 years, the theme is always the reign of Christ, R-E-I-G-N, reign of Christ, that Jesus Christ is our King. Perhaps not a metaphor we Americans totally understand a couple hundred years after breaking off from a monarchy. But in any case, today is a reminder that it is Jesus who is our Lord and Master and none other. And it's a reminder that we are citizens within his kingdom or his reign. It's the reign of this particular king who is Christ Jesus. And so this day calls us to imagine what God might be telling us about the expectations and visions of citizenship in this particular kingdom. So on this Christ the King Sunday, we might expect to hear stories of majesty. Maybe the story we read on Palm Sunday with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, when the people shouted, "Hosanna to our King! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord!" Or maybe we'd expect to hear one of the royal psalms, the words written to celebrate the coronation of royalty, those trusted with and called to the task of ruling the nations with God's mercy and judgment. But instead, on this Christ the King Sunday, we meet Jesus, our King, on the cross. We've dropped into his story near the end, when he's mocked and tortured and killed in front of the masses. We've encountered a king whom no one seems to even recognize as a king. On this Christ the King Sunday, this king is out of place. It seems like he doesn't belong here in this moment of suffering and death in what should be a moment of celebration and triumph. And yet, Jesus usually doesn't belong wherever it is that we find him in the biblical story and in our world. He almost never shows up where and when he should if we were the ones writing the story. When it comes to meeting expectations of what a Messiah should look like, about where and when God should show up and does show up, Jesus most often fails to meet those expectations. And that is good news. It's good news that Jesus doesn't meet our expectations, that he doesn't usually do what we think he should or will do. It's good news in our story for those who put Jesus on the cross, because it's for those people, it's for us, Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Jesus looks at his accusers in the face, and he prays for them. He pleads for mercy for them, not what we would expect someone to do. And it's good news for the criminal next to Jesus, who asks Jesus if he might remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus replies to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Not what we might expect him to say. "To you," he says, to this man who, unlike Jesus, deserves to be put to death, at least legally speaking. He says, "You have a place in my kingdom, with me forever." It's good news that Jesus doesn't meet our expectations, because that means that Jesus shows up in the places we would least expect him to be, in our own death, in our grief, in our suffering, and in our loneliness, in our failures. Jesus shows up in those places the twinkling Christmas lights cannot reach, in places of brokenness and loss, the loss of relationships or jobs or direction. Jesus shows up for you when the winter wonderland seems to mock your pain and your grief and loneliness, when the loss of something or someone you love has created a deep void, maybe especially acutely in this season. Jesus shows up for the poor and the outcast, for those who live on the margins. Jesus shows up for the criminals. And in fact, Jesus invites them all into his kingdom, even when we who are privileged fail over and over to offer the same invitations to those who are on the margins. And that is good news for the poor and the outcast. Today we meet a king who is out of place. So maybe living in the kingdom of this king, this out of place king, the reign of this monarch, maybe that might look like living and moving in the world in ways that also seem out of place, in ways of grace and forgiveness over and against ways of judgment and exclusion. Maybe it means acting in ways our world and our culture won't expect, in ways that notice those who are poor and outcast, in ways that do not define our neighbors by their worst days and their worst decisions. As you have probably noticed, lately there has been a resurgence in publicity about Fred Rogers, the beloved TV icon most of us know or remember as Mr. Rogers. Have any of you seen the new Tom Hanks movie yet? I haven't gotten to it yet, but I'm eager to see it. Well, yesterday on CNN.com, one of the feature articles was titled, "Mr. Rogers Was a Televangelist to Toddlers." Fred Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian pastor who took an unexpected call in an unexpected pulpit. He preached through the TV to a congregation of children, and how he changed the world in doing so. The CNN article quotes Rogers as saying that his ministry was, quote, the broadcasting of grace throughout the land, end quote. Indeed, an unexpected call in an unexpected context, all led by an unexpected king. In a world that so often fails children by either tossing them aside or by teaching them from an early age that their worth depends on their grades and their performance, maybe even on their behavior, Mr. Rogers never wavered from his message to kids that they are loved just as they are. It was an unexpected message for an unexpected audience, which for Rogers was fruit of his faith in an unexpected king. And this did not always make Fred Rogers terribly popular. He faced all kinds of suspicion about his true personality and his work, about his motivations. He was mocked and insulted for telling kids that they are loved just as they are, as though a message of grace would just encourage laziness in a world of ceaseless striving. Fred Rogers was out of place. But perhaps that was a deeply faithful place to be. Yet I have no doubt it was a lonely place to be. But our out-of-place King Jesus on the cross promises us that we are never alone, even and especially if following him means that we are out of place. Our King shows up where we least expect him to be, where he seems most out of place. Our King shows up today and every day for those who are hungry and imprisoned. He shows up for a world that fails to reflect the grace and mercy of the God we claim. Our King shows up for a world that rejects him and nails him to a cross. And our King shows up for you today, wherever you are and wherever you have come from, inviting you to live an unexpected life of grace and love for this world God so loves. Thanks be to God for this King. Amen.